Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cozy Club, a warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. My name is Monica.
And I'm Reagan. And today we're back with a new episode of the Cozy Club, and we're excited to be chatting about some current favorite fall media, and also just some media we're looking forward to getting into this season, from music to books to TV shows to all different types of things. But before we dive into these specifics, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to your podcast app of choice and leave a review if you want to. But let's just go ahead and dive in. Before we go into specifics, Monica, should we maybe chat, like, do you have any, like, buzzwords or adjectives you think of when you think of things that you want to, like, watch or consume during the fall time? Like, any, I don't know, any vibes you're kind of looking for, or is it just kind of varied?
Yeah, I think for me, weather plays a big role in that. Mm. So, like, is there lots of stormy days or nights? Mm. Are the leaves changing? Is it a little crisp outside? And I love any sort of media that really plays into that and, like, really paints that sort of atmosphere is always something that I look for when I'm looking at fall media that I want to consume.
For sure. I think atmosphere is definitely key. And I feel like it's nice to find things that are, like, moody and a little spooky, but not necessarily scary. Mm-hmm. And I feel like leaning into the weather aspect of it, I feel like provides that sort of feeling without having to make it, you know, utterly terrifying, which I know you and I both struggle with.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I definitely love reading and watching things that really lean into, like, how the air or, like, the atmosphere around our characters feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
A dim room, a candelabra, if you will.
Some howling winds.
Oh yes, the moors. But now I guess that we've set the scene, we can jump into some of our current, previous fall media faves. I know we have both been consuming a variety of things.
Yeah, and you have some movies that you are wanting to watch or have watched recently, right?
Okay, yeah. So my fall, I've been slowly getting back into actually watching movies because I have fallen off completely with movie watching, but I found the perfect combination. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, of peer pressure, of having people come over and then I won't, like, actually back out of watching the movie like I typically do. So this fall, I definitely want to do a Twilight rewatch. And you're going to Forks this fall. So I feel like that lines up. You're going to IRL Twilight and I'm going to just
real life. I'm so excited for that. I have actually a friend who I believe is coming who has never watched the final Twilight film and doesn't know what happens.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, we definitely have to do a rewatch of that.
For sure. There's something about the music, the really blue-green quality of the shots that just make them a perfect fall rewatch. And I feel like with time, they only get better. It's like transformed from being absurd. I remember watching in the theaters for the first time and I was like, what is happening? But now it's like everything that's terrible is now kind of iconic about the Twilight films. there's no other way. There's no other way to think about it.
I mean, they're pretty amazing. Soundtrack alone, phenomenal.
Soundtrack is insane, actually. Like, you can say a lot about Stephenie Meyer, but apparently she has very good music taste. Another movie I've actually watched recently that I do think is a really good fall movie is Interview with the Vampire, which I had never seen before. And this movie experience was bananas. So I watched it with my good friend in Clay. We just kind of picked it on a whim because it's one of those movies that I feel like I've always known about my whole life because it came out in the early 90s and it has a lot of famous people in it. But I hadn't ever seen it and I didn't really have a lot of concept of, like, what it was about. So I was like, vampires, like, that's Halloween-y, that's fall. So we watched it and it was literally the most bananas experience of my entire life. One, the plot makes zero sense, but, like, in a way that's kind of fantastic. Like, it's so ridiculous. Also, I thought the whole time the two main male vampires, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, were, like, in love. I thought they were gonna end up, like, together, like, dating, but then spoiler alert, they never kiss. The whole time I thought they were going to kiss, okay? I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, kiss, 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 kiss. But just a lot of a close proximity and mouth breathing, unfortunately. But, like, the whole movie is so unhinged, and it just, like, progressively gets more bananas and incoherent, but in a way that becomes so entertaining. Like, I have not stopped thinking about Interview with a Vampire for weeks after I've seen this movie. It's just so crazy.
So what is Interview with a Vampire about again?
Okay, so to be fair, there's not a lot of plot, but the setup is... So there's Brad Pitt's character, and it opens up in like the 1700s or something, and his wife mm-hmm. dies, and he's like sad, and he's drinking a lot, and he's like, I want to die. And then so therefore he's easily convinced by Tom Cruise's character that the best solution to wanting to die is to become immortal. So he gets turned into a vampire, and then Tom Cruise is like, welcome to your new life, will you have to eat blood? And Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt's like, I don't like this. And he's just a sulky, sad vampire like the whole movie, like depressed about being a vampire, doesn't want it, never wanted it, like very like Jon Snow, I don't want it. But like, he also was told he was gonna be a vampire. I don't know why he thought that was gonna cure his depression, but anyway, so he becomes a vampire, and then they just like live together for centuries mm-hmm. and it's just Brad Pitt being sad he's a vampire and Tom Cruise just being absolutely like hedonistic and doing whatever the hell he wants and like tormenting Brad Pitt to like be a vampire. And then eventually they like get another vampire, but she's like young, and then they start living together like this weird screwed up family, and she's also completely unhinged like Tom Cruise. So like, so now there's just like, and then they move to Europe for some reason. And then, like, that's the plot. Like, literally, that's it. And he's, like, telling his life story to some guy in present-day San Francisco. He's just like, yeah, I'm a vampire, and Lisette was really screwed up, and I'm sad. Like, that's the story of the movie.
And I'm sad.
I think the TV show adaptation, they are together. Like, that's how, when you watch this movie, yeah. So, like, they've, and I've heard great things about the TV show adaptation. I really want to watch it now. It's like, that's like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but they're actually like the two characters, Lisette and then Brad Pitt's character. I don't know his name. They're like together in the show. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not, it, that makes sense. Cause the whole time I'm like, kiss, kiss, kiss.
I had no idea they actually did that in the show. I'm intrigued. Yeah. Now.
So it's like very queer. Like the show adaptation is like very queer. There's like lots of queer characters because, which works. It makes so much more sense, especially if you're looking at the source material. But yeah. I know it has a little bit of scary elements, but I swear to you, Monica, you need to watch this movie for just... you will just shriek. Like, there is... I don't know how to explain it. Like, in the beginning, you're like, Lisette, bad. He's bad. Like, he's doing bad things. He makes me uncomfy. But then by the end, you're like, go, Lisette. 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 I don't even... Or maybe that's just me. Like, maybe I'm not... I shouldn't be rooting for this vampire, but like,
listen, I just loved Roman Roy.
Like, literally, he's literally like, he's like chaotic evil. Okay. He like, he knows he's bad, but he's like, get over it, we're vampires. They're like, fair enough, you know what I mean? It's like, by the end you're like, you know, he has some points. It was transformative. Interview with a Vampire, I did not know what to expect. What the plot was about, debatable. Honestly, there was no plot. It was just vampires being vampires in different periods of time and almost kissing the whole time. But I highly recommend it, to be honest, if I'm being transparent. It was great. I had a great time with it.
I think I'm sold. You'll have to report back if the show is.
But yeah, that was like my big... movie. It's like a recommendation and also what I recently experienced for a fall vibe experience. Love it. Yeah, it was great. I can't stop thinking about it, to be honest. What about you though? What has been on your brain? What has been taking over your life recently, Monica?
Yeah, so I've been playing some games and getting me into that mood, that sort of autumnal mode of being. Mm-hmm. One that I've definitely been enjoying a lot is the Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood, which is...
Oh, I've heard such good things.
Yeah, it's really fun. You basically... And I've heard from people who have played it on PC and Switch that it's a little bit easier to play on PC. I've been playing on Switch mm-hmm. with no issues, but the whole concept is that you are this witch who has been sent away, or what's the word when you get...
Exiled.
exiled. You've been exiled out of your coven into space, and you're living on this asteroid, and you want revenge. And so you, you know, bring yourself back, and like through these tarot cards that you are able to create, you're able to like get the backstory of what happened between you and your coven and learn more about all of that and progress the story forward. And it just like makes you feel like 100, like you're in that witchy mode, and I love that so much. I think it's so fun. Mm-hmm. The art is really beautiful, so I've really been enjoying that. That's probably been one of my favorite like autumnal cozy games that I've been playing this fall. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is like, I kind of feel mixed about it because I really like the game itself, but it's I actually had to stop playing it because it's like really buggy, so I can't fully recommend it just yet.
It's buggy after all this time.
I know. So it's Mineko's Night Market, which has been like one of my most anticipated games for years. So many people's most anticipated games for like years and years and years, and they've delayed it so many times, and apparently they just like something happened with the Switch port, and it just, I guess they were able to, like, all the bugs that they had, they were able to fix on PC, but because it takes a while for Switch patches to go through, they haven't gone through on the Switch yet. And so, like, they released this whole apology on Twitter. Oh. But it just, like, I feel bad for them because, like, they're obviously, like, an indie team, and I'm sure they didn't want this to happen, but I also feel bad for people who, like, bought the game, and like it's frustrating because it's like you can't progress in certain like with certain tasks at all. And loading like times bugs. Yeah, like they're bad bugs. And so I feel bad, but like the game itself is so fun and cute, and I like genuinely I love the dialogue, I love the mechanics, I love the art. The art it's like is so beautiful. It's so cozy to play, and it's so frustrating because like as I'm playing it, I'm like, this would be like a favorite for sure if I could progress, but I can't because it's so frustrating. So
maybe hopefully we'll be able to patch soon. I'll probably wait hopefully. Then thank you for the PSA. That's so sad. I hope they're able to fix it soon. I know it's been such a huge anticipatory cozy game release.
Yeah. But hopefully like in a week or two it'll be good to play, but yeah, it sucks. I feel bad for them.
So that kind of moves me into shows a little bit. Because in watching Interview with the Vampire, I've realized how much vampire media I've consumed has very clear and direct references to this movie. And it like kind of has blown my mind. So like Vampire Diaries has some very obvious like the two main male vampires, like this sort of love-hate sort of situation.
One of them being very sad about being a vampire.
Very Interview with a Vampire vibes. But then I've recently gotten into What We Do in the Shadows. Have you seen that show before?
I haven't, but I've seen clips.
It's so funny. It's a vampire show. It's like a mockumentary following these vampires that live in this house. And like their familiar who is a human. It's so absurd. But they're vampires, and they're constantly referencing vampire media, but, like, a lot of what they're referencing, like, they have referenced a lot of Interview with a Vampire, which I did not catch until I saw this movie, which What We Do in the Shadows is, like, one of my other fall watches at this junction. And it's so good, and I highly recommend it. I've just been laughing out loud. It's absurd. It's, like, very absurd, which personally lands for me. I really like the movie when it came out all those years ago, and I just have been putting off the show for reasons that are unclear to me. But we finally started watching it, and it's so good. But yeah, it references Interview with a Vampire a lot, which is so funny. I just feel like I'm seeing Interview with a Vampire everywhere. It's taking over my life.
Yeah, I keep meaning to watch What We Do in the Shadows. It sounds amazing. But yeah, now I'm like, do I need to rewatch Vampire Diaries? Like,
it's always tempting. I feel like I always start and stop my rewatch of Vampire Diaries. You should watch Interview with a Vampire and then watch Vampire Diaries.
Maybe that'll be the plan.
That's what you should do. A show I really want to start is a show I know you've really enjoyed. It's Over the Garden Wall. Tell me about it. Sell it to me.
I mean, it's just like, I don't even, it's just like fall in a show. Like, if you could take, like, a hot apple cider and make it a television show, it would be over the garden wall. And, oh my god, I did see a really funny TikTok, though, recently, yeah, from this person who was like, every time you all would say, like, the ultimate fall show is over the garden wall, I would always picture Over the Hedge, that, like, DreamWorks.
What the hell are you recommending? That's so funny. But isn't it yeah. while like these two brothers like getting lost yeah. in the woods, right?
Yeah, so it's, I just looked up, I tried to remember the one guy, so Wirt is the one I couldn't remember, Wirt and Greg. So they get lost and you're like, it's basically like you're in a forest. They go on these little adventures and it's so short too. Like that's the thing, is it's like there's not much to watch. So you'll get yeah. through it probably in a day. And Elijah Whoa. Wooded Yeah. And I can't believe, honestly, I can't believe that they haven't done more with it, considering how popular it has become. Like, it's become such a cult thing.
Well, yeah. I feel like everyone's obsessed with it. Was it originally on Hulu? Or was it on somewhere else, canceled, and then brought to Hulu?
Let me look. Oh, Cartoon Network. That makes sense.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah, Cartoon Network. Which is surprising. I mean, maybe it was always supposed to just be that.
Cartoon Network, I feel like, has some very excellent cartoons. I mean, can you imagine a Cartoon Network show with Elijah Wood as the main voice actor?
Yeah, that would be expensive.
Good for them. Good for them.
But yeah, if you just want to, like, have a show where you're following, like, two brothers having adventures in the forest in autumn over the garden wall. And, like, even just hearing the theme song, it's like that Pavlovian effect of like hearing the Gilmore yeah. Girls theme song. It's like the same thing over the garden wall, like gives me that same like it's fall feeling.
Amazing. Yeah, that's definitely on my list personally for this fall. Yeah. And just hearing everyone who's already seen it like talk about how much and why they love it, I feel like it's kind of an impossible force to like not start watching.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then have you seen Only Murders in the Building? Because that's also the new season's on my personal list.
I don't watch anything.
I think you would like
it. It's such a problem. I do really want to watch this, though.
I think
I'm going to watch it this season. Maybe.
I feel like knowing your preferences, I feel like this would be a show that would actually be something you would like. Because it's just like a really fun whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
And which I love. Whodunit. But, and it also has this really hilarious like relationship between the three characters. And they're all very funny and, like, very lovable. I wasn't sure if you saw the first season or not, but if you're not familiar, podcast listeners, Only Murders in the Building are basically, like, these three people that live in the same building, at least in season one. And they're all very into, like, murder podcasts. And then a murder happens in the building, and then they create their own podcast to try to solve the murder. And it's just a very endearing show because, like, as much as it is about solving this murder and like figuring out the mystery, it's also about these like compelling relationships that they're forming with each other and like unlikely people kind of coming together as two of the men are older. It's kind of like getting your groove back, and then Selena Gomez's character is like struggling, so they all just find like found family with one another, so it has this very endearing quality to it as well. It is in New York during fall, which I feel like New York in the fall is like peak New York season. We have When Harry Met Sally. There's lots of media fall in New York that are like perfect to watch and consume during this time. But yeah, I need to watch the third season. I've been kind of saving it for the fall. It came out in the summer, which felt kind of weird to me. I'm like, this should not be out right now. But I think I'm going to start it soon. But I've been so addicted to What We Do in the Shadows that I really haven't been doing anything else besides watching that and then Vanderpump Rules. But you know, but my reality TV is like separate. It's a separate need, you know what I mean? Those are like my movies and shows that I've watched / want to watch.
Yeah.
Which I know you're not really watching anything this season, so, but I know you're probably listening to a lot of stuff. What's your music vibe? You're traveling, you're staring out of plane windows. Give me your playlists.
So I feel like I recently rediscovered, not that Lord needs to be rediscovered, but
I found recently, this underground artist called
but it's been a minute since I like just sat down and listened to Pure Heroine like from beginning to end, and with it being the 10-year anniversary of that album coming out, which is bananas to me.
That's crazy. 10 years,
absolutely insane. Stop. Like and just like thinking about like what I was doing 10 years ago while listening to Pure Heroine and how like it's basically what I'm doing now, which is scrolling on Tumblr. Like,
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. Reblogging sad Lana Del Rey edits. Anyways. But, oh my goodness, just, like, going back and re-listening to that, like, that album, I feel like it's that album, the 1975's, like, self-titled album. What else came out this year, 10 years ago? I don't know. There's so many, like, that vibe, the, like, Arctic Monkeys.
That time.
That's, like, ugh. And when I listen to it, it's, like, this is autumn. This is, like, this specific feeling. It's so transportive. Mm-hmm. Is that the word, transportive or transportative?
Yeah, transportive.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
It just, like, brings you back to the, like, very specific time period of, like, tights and knee-high socks and... Mm-hmm. Black and white photography and cold weather and Tumblr, and I feel like that's just the vibe for autumn for me this year. Yeah, I've been loving Pure Heroine again, and like I don't think I've listened to Ribs specifically in years until recently. I was on like a road trip and it came on and I was like, this song, like, we need to talk about how incredible this song is. So that's anyways, amazing. I've been listening to a lot of that album specifically.
Really leaning into the nostalgia. It's taken up a lot of
my... Yeah, yeah. So that one, and then a new one is the new Bleachers song, Modern Girl, which is just like...
Bleachers came out with a new single.
Yes, they have a whole album coming out, and I'm so excited. I love Jack Antonoff so much.
Same. I'm going to like it right now on Spotify.
Yeah, and it's so good. And I am so excited for this album because he talked about, like, in an interview how he kind of wanted to write an album about sort of the feeling of New York City right now, specifically, like, this sort of, like, Dime Square movement, which is a lot of what I'm writing about in my, like, actual writing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, Jack, this is perfect. Thank you. This will be my new inspo music. And, like... Yeah, I don't know. It's just this song in particular. I just feel like he makes music that makes you feel like you're in a film in the best way possible. There's and he gets this, like, criticism for stuff, that.
Which I love.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
There's all this, like, background movement and music in his, like... Like, you feel like you're, like, walking down a street sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
he really captures
music. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like he's gotten a weird amount of criticism recently for, like, making music like that. And it's like, but that's what he's good at.
That's his style.
And, like, yeah, that's his style. And, like, every artist has their style. And I feel like his is so distinctive. And, like, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so I'm so excited for all the new music. But Modern Girl is just so fun. Like, it's, like, the epitome. Like, you know how there's, like, the summer, like... The song of the summer, anthem. It's like a jam. Yeah. I feel like this is like such a perfect fall anthem. Like, it has that element of, like, you want to dance to it, but it's like there's something moody about it too. So it's so good. I love it. And then I've also recently discovered an artist called Dora Jar, which love her name, first of all. But she's opening for the 1975, which is how I discovered her. But she apparently also opened for Billie Eilish and is friends with Billie. But her vibe when she gets on stage is like they found this, like, fairy in a forest or like witch in a forest. And, like,
yeah,
it was like, okay, you are our opening act. Yeah. Like, the way that she talks, like, one of the things that she says, like, have you ever felt like a mermaid? And then she, like, plays the song about feeling like she's a mermaid.
I love it.
And it's so, like, all of her music just feels so magical in that sense, and, like, fun and funny and irreverent. And I love, like, even her name, Dora Jar, is, like,
that's so
there's
cute.
A silliness there.
Yeah.
And I just, like, love her. And I would say... I do think that I like her live more than recorded, but would highly recommend checking out the songs Polly and Lagoon. Those ones I think are really good, both. And then there's a few songs that she's been performing live that aren't released yet that I'm so excited for, like Puppet. But yeah, I would just highly recommend her. I don't think she's really blown up yet, but she should.
Speaking of really playful music, because I similarly... Have you heard of Chapel Ronan?
No.
Her pop album, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, is, like, all I
listen to. Oh, yes, I have.
It's so good. It's, like, she has this... I feel like I love her music because I feel like it's either so over the top, hyper pop, like,
yeah,
we love to dance, we love to sing. But then she'll have some of the most moody, introspective, like, lyrics as well, mm-hmm. like, in another song. And I just feel like this contrast of her songs are just so interesting. And they're such bops, they're such jams, but there's also, like, not, I like the idea of, like, not everything needs to have substance. And, like, sometimes you just want to have fun, you know? Yeah. And I feel like yeah. she makes those songs. The lack of substance is, like, substance almost. You know what I yeah. mean? Because, like, what she's trying to, like, play with. And then her other, there's other songs that are so good. I just cannot stop listening to it. I started listening to it because I'm going to the Guts tour. And Ooh. She's opening for mm-hmm. Olivia Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. But I've been listening to her album more than I've been listening to Guts, to be honest. It's, like, so good. You should, if you haven't listened to the whole thing through, you definitely yeah. should give it a listen. I think you'd like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only listened to a few songs, so I'll definitely, pop. I need to do that. I see our friend Michelle posts about her a lot.
Yeah.
So keep meaning
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Michelle loves her. And I was like, oh. And my friend Emily listens to her, and I was like, oh, I should, because I knew, like, Pink Pony Club, which is, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think, her most popular single, which I really like. But I was like, oh, her whole album's out. And it's just, like, so fun and then, like, also moody. I don't know, it's like such a vibe, and I've been having a blast listening to it. Makes me feel cool. Look at me, I'm on the cutting edge of pop music release. And then I think the other album for me would be the mm-hmm. 1989 re-release mm-hmm. that's coming out soon.
Very soon,
in like 10 yeah. days.
Crazy.
When we're recording. I'm excited. I hope it's a dual album.
Like the theories about it, do you mean?
Yeah.
I would love that if, like, there is actually an album of features.
Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, there's this theory, if people aren't familiar, that she'll release 1989, re-release, straight up. And then there's another album that's the whole album again, but just people covering the songs.
Yeah. Very Jack Antonoff inspired.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. So, we'll see.
Make sense. We'll see.
And then we got New Boy Genius coming out tonight, I think. Which
a whole new album?
No, 4 new songs. The Rest.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, I like it. The Rest.
The Rest, yeah. I'm excited, though. That'll be good. Outside of music, we both have some books that we are reading or want to read this season. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about some things that are on your TBR?
So, I'm reading right now Swordcatcher by Cassandra mm-hmm. Clare, which I feel like is just like a big fall release.
Yeah. How is it going?
Oh, it's good.
Cassandra Clare's,
yeah, adult fantasy debut. Mm-hmm. I'm liking it. And, I mean, I think this is, like, one of her first, I mean, especially within the adults, which is her adult debut, but she hasn't written something not in the Shadowhunter world for so long. And this is also a high fantasy release, and she's predominantly only written urban fantasy. So I was just curious, and it's very character-focused, which I feel like she has such a skill with. But to backtrack, Swordcatcher basically, it's a dual POV narrative set in, like, a fantasy city that's very, like, trade forward. The rich are very rich. They own trade charters. They kind of control all the movement of things. And this place is very, like, they don't really grow crops. Like, it's all very trade oriented. We follow one character who is a part of, who's called a sword catcher, who's basically, like, the prince's double. And he has lived this existence his whole life. So he'll basically, like, take the place of the prince and, like, dangerous situations. They're also, like, close, but obviously their relationship is not balanced in terms of power. So he is a character we read from. And then we follow also a young woman who's, like, a healer, a doctor, and she mm-hmm. has magic, and her cultural group has magic. And in this fantasy world, like, all magic is gone except this one group of people who are able to have it, and because of it, they're, like, highly ostracized and othered within all of the cities, including the city that this book is taken place in. But the progress of the book so far has been, like, slow. I really appreciate that Cassandra Clare, I'm only, like, halfway through, is, like, really taking her time. It's very character forward. I feel like we're getting to know and understand these characters first and foremost, but I'm starting to see kind of the budding growth of the political intrigue that I feel like is going to be taking place. It's definitely fun. It's a little sexy, but not, like, romantic-y. It's just more, you know, when you, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just, like, you know, when you watch, like, a show and there's just, like, some sexy parts. It's, like, kind of mm-hmm. like that, but it's not, like, Got it's it. Romance forward necessarily. But, yeah, I'm liking it so far. It's definitely very engrossing. Like, I'm reading it quickly, and I don't know. I've been trying to find, like, other reviews online, but I don't even know if they did ARCs for this release. I feel like I can't find anything. Am I wrong?
Yeah, have you seen reviews? Really, I mean, to be fair, I'm not really tapped into like Book Talk or Bookstagram or anything, but I feel like with a book by Cassandra Clare, I should have seen something. And yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. I feel like they've been very like, they've kept it under wraps, or they just didn't do a lot of pre-release stuff. Like, true. They didn't send out arcs. Cause I was trying to find just like a review of someone's thoughts, and like the only reviews that existed on Goodreads or whatever were people just rating it, but just because they were rating it, not because they actually read it. Interesting. You know, people can do that on Goodreads. Like, I couldn't find a review, which was so weird. So that is weird. Anyway, it's like I really went in blind, but so far I'm liking it quite a bit. It's fun and also entertaining. And it's just really cool to see her do something new. Like, all of her writing strengths are still there, but the plot and the story is definitely like nothing we've really experienced much, at least so far, from Cassandra Clare, which I think is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a big one for me currently. What about you?
One book that is on the top of my TBR is definitely Fingersmith. The book that I'm books that I'm currently reading are both nonfiction, so they don't really really fit the vibe as much. But Fingersmith is a historical fiction novel. It's actually the book that inspired the Korean film The Handmaiden, and which is an amazing film. And I've been wanting to read Fingersmith for so long. So the premise is that our main character is this girl who's grown up with this like sort of family of thieves, and the sort of like very enigmatic like head or very well beloved thief called the Gentleman comes to her and like basically gives her this task of trying to get into the sort of inner circle of this wealthy woman and become her, I forget what it's called in the book, but handmaiden in the the film. And through that, like, they're going to like steal, the plan is to like steal her money and then basically present it as though like she has gone mad and then, you know, send her away. So that's the premise. But the yeah, and the two women end up falling in love with each other, so it's like this queer element also. And yeah, I've just like been wanting to read it for so long, and it's like really intrigued me. And it's like just sort of a chunky historical fiction with like all of these with like the whole added element of like the con, which I feel like is also just such an autumnal trope. So yeah, that's definitely one that I am hoping to pick up this fall.
It also has a gothic horror tag, or a gothic tag, not horror, gothic tag, which
And it gets compared to Dickens a lot, which I also feel like is very much cold weather vibes.
For sure. Like, nothing like a good old dense, historically set novel, you know? Absolutely. I think they just have, like, such a nice ambiance. For me, I think my last author or book that comes to mind is Adrienne Young. So I read an Adrienne Young book in August and really liked it. And she just had a new book come out. I feel like when we first opened this episode and, like, chatted about, like, ambiance and like the crisp cold air and that sort of vibe, I feel like Adrienne Young really captures that feeling so well in her books. And I really liked the first book I read. It was called Spells for Forgetting, which is set in this like small island town like off the coast of Pacific Northwest somewhere. And it, I describe it kind of like Gilmore Girls meets a thriller in a way, almost. It has this like very small town setting, but instead of it being like cozy and cute, like people are close, but there's also this like generational dislike of, you know, between families, just like distrust, stuff like that. And before the start of the novel, there's basically our main character's best friend died, and her like boyfriend at the time was assumed to have done the murder, and he kind of fled the island and no one has seen him since. And then fast forward to present day, he's come back to like deal with some things he like needs to deal with, like paperwork kind of stuff. And the island just has this ambiance, and there's this angst and moodiness that is pervasive throughout like the entire reading experience. It also has this like hint of magic and intrigue, and you jump back and forth in time. So you go, you know, right before this murder happened to present day. And I just feel like the author really sells this like faded love, pain, like sort of thing. That just makes it like very intoxicating, but the setting is what shines. But she had a new book just come out, The Unbecoming of June Farrow. So it's like another heavy atmospheric, but this time it follows a girl who lives on a flower farm Ooh. With her family. Mm-hmm. And her mother has gone missing, and there's like a family curse that's impacted them, like generation over generation. And she is determined to like break the curse, essentially. So I just feel like it's gonna be another like vibey read. I don't know. I really like Spells for Forgetting, and her new book just feels very perfect for the time of year too. So I think those are the two books that are like top of mind for me at the moment.
No, I really need to add some Adrian Young to my TBR.
They're short too.
Yeah.
They're like very like quick reads, you know?
I'm into that. I guess my last book that I'm hoping to read this autumn is one that I've had on my TBR for quite a while, and it's These Violent Delights by Micah Nemerover. I think that's how you say that. And I feel like this book kind of got, because there's another book called These Violent Delights that did really well, that's a YA novel. I feel like this one kind of got, that came out, I think, around the same time, kind of got looked over. And I've been wanting to read it for a while. And from what I understand, it is, according to one review, addictive study of toxic and obsessive queer relationships. It's also supposed to have some like dark academia vibes to it. Ooh. I don't really know like exactly like plot wise everything that's gonna happen. I kind of feel like with this, because it is sort of like crimey mystery, I didn't want to know too much. But I've heard overwhelmingly like fantastic things about it from everyone I know who has read it. So I'm excited to pick it up, hopefully at some point this autumn.
That sounds intense.
Yeah. I especially love, because, like, I do know that the two main characters come from, like, very different backgrounds, too. And I love when stories, like, sort of look at that and, like, how the, like, your social, economic background, like, affects your relationship with other people.
Yeah.
So I'm also intrigued by that. That was one of the things that I loved about The Secret History, because you have, like, these very wealthy characters, and you have, like, our main character, and just, like, the things he goes through to try and keep up with them is fascinating. Well, I think we have gone through quite a few exciting fall media bits that we are either planning on watch or going to be watching. And I feel like I got some new things added to my list, for sure.
Same, same, same. All I want is for you to watch Interview with a Vampire.
I will. I'll download it on my phone if I can, and I'll watch it on my flight or something.
It's so... there's just so much to discuss, basically.
Amazing. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you had a wonderful time with us, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.